When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Mail checks, invoices, documents, and everything you need to keep your business running. Get rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS. And with the mobile app, you can take care of mailing on the go. Make the same no-brainer decisions as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up at Stamps.com with code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Live from the Danger Room, hidden deep under a Westchester mansion, it's the Mighty Marvel Tooncast with Tim Nidell and Jeremy Shields.
Two of you. The odds are getting better and better.
Spider sense. Danger.
We always kiss the bridesmaids, too.
This ain't Cajun country, hun. Zip those lips.
Kumbaya! He's alive.
And in a lousy mood.
I can't believe it.
Get away while you can!
Join them as they review classic Marvel animation. And now, here's Tim and Jeremy. Excelsior.
Well, hey, Toonsters. We're back. It is me. It is Jeremy. And, of course, with me is the ever-elusive...
Tim Nidell.
There he is. Tim Nidell.
I'm here, too.
And we... we are here in the Danger Room, and we're making sure to not hit any buttons once again. And why are we together? Because you should never go to the Danger Room alone. That's what it was we were saying in previous episodes. I'm glad. I remembered. So while we're in the Danger Room, why are we in here, Tim?
I have no idea, honestly. Are we talking about Spider-Man? Is that what we're doing?
Yes, that's right. We're talking Spider-Man, but we do it from the Danger Room because this is the only place we could be in a nice, secure location to make sure nobody comes in and stops us from recording these because, you know, the man is always out there to say, hey, you can't do that.
And darn the man. That's what I had to say.
That's right. We're 90s kids, okay? So everything was darn the man, right? Okay. And that's why we're talking about a 90s series right now. So Spider-Man, the animated series, we are working on now the second episode. Which, of course, introduces the Spider Slayers. I think that's actually the name of the episode, too, isn't it?
It is.
I should have looked that up.
Part one, yes. Yep.
The Spider Slayer, yes. Originally, this aired on February 4th of 1995.
Whoa.
Yeah, and this is one I think we've even talked about this before, that there was a delay from that first episode until this one, because like the first one had aired, I think, like November 94?
Yeah, it was a long time.
It's like they teased us to say, oh, by the way, this will be happening kind of next year. But here's a good look. So I had been waiting for this episode for a very long time.
And we've talked about it before, but this series is just amazing. It still holds up today. And as I was 15 and you were what, maybe 18, 19?
I was 17.
Okay, 17,
at
okay.
Yeah, at the time of this episode, I was 17.
Okay.
And still watching cartoons.
Hey, you know, I did it up until I was 20, you know, when I moved out of the house and I started working in Yellowstone, where there is no TV whatsoever. That's when I stopped watching cartoons, because I was forced to stop watching TV. So I was the same way. I watched cartoons up until I was 19.
Yep, and now if I find a good cartoon, I will still watch it today, even though I'm 40 now.
Well, see, I'm different when it comes to that. I don't know. I don't like modern-day cartoons. Usually, there's some that I do appreciate and I can watch, but another aspect of it is I don't have time in my busy schedule to watch cartoons. So I just
Star Wars Rebels and Star Wars The Clone Wars.
I haven't seen any episodes of either one of those.
See? And Netflix does have The Clone Wars, but you don't have Netflix.
I don't have Netflix.
Those no are two time. Animated series worth your time. Once you get through the first season on both of them, is kind of... but once you hit the second season, it hits the gas, and it's an excellent show, both of them.
But we're here to talk about Spider-Man, and should I...
That's right.
Should I maybe set up that I wasn't able to watch this episode?
Again, we have a hard time, because they have not released the Spider-Man animated series here in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
They have released it, I have found out, over in Europe, and I think maybe specifically in Great Britain. But in order to get a copy of it over here, it'll be in PAL format, and people over in Britain know that we can't get it in the States, and they will sell it for a few hundred dollars to get the entire series. So Disney, doggone it, released the series because otherwise we have to find alternative means to watch these. And believe me, there are ways out there, and you're not making any money off of it.
Exactly. And I thought I had that way, and I do have that way, but they numbered them wrong, so I watched the wrong episode in preparing for this episode we're about to record. So I'm all ready to talk about the Scorpion if you want to talk about the Scorpion.
But we're not ready to talk about Scorpion yet. That's coming up in a few weeks. But you did mention, I got to point out that you called this an amazing series, and how yes. apropos, because this is the Amazing Spider-Man. Which we better just get to it. Oh, but we didn't mention that if you enjoy hearing our craziness, make sure you check out the Neverland podcast and also Saturday Morning Rewind.
Mm-hmm.
There's, of course, podcasts for each and also a YouTube channel for each. And Saturday Rewind here has been putting up some really fun stuff, which I meant to ask you about later, but I'll do that after the show, because I've been watching some stuff and I'm like, that's really cool. How did you get that?
Sweet.
But yeah, he's got cool stuff, so go check it out.
Yep. All the links are on the website, so there you go.
Yes. And however you're listening to this, we had some kerfuffles, and those of you who have been listening for a while, hi, Mom. No. But we have had to change some of the things on feed. We are back in iTunes, but we have a feed that runs through the Neverland Podcast main feed, which through Libsyn, if you've been listening on that one, the Marvel Tooncast episode, has you probably noticed, has been popping up there. But we do also have a specific feed special to the Marvel Tooncast, which you can go and find that one as well. Tell people to come and check it out. Like that way, if you're a Marvel fan but not a Disney fan, well, then you can go and just get the one. So tell your friends, spread the word, Marvel Tooncast, we're doing something awesome here. But now, the Spider Slayer!
Tell me about it, Jeremy. Tell me all about the Spider Slayer.
Well, it's a typical night for Spider-Man. You know, he's just swinging, everything's cool, going through New York. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, these weird, like, droid robots, they're like these flying drones, come at him. They're like these giant cameras.
Nice to just get away up here sometimes. Clears out the cobwebs. Spider-Sense going crazy. Guy can't even sling a few webs in peace anymore.
And it seems they were just sent to track him. And really, they just kind of hit ramming speed at him. And so he realizes, okay, there's something wrong with these. They're explosive, and they're just trying to ram me. But after Spidey deals with those and wondering, well, what in the world's going on with that? And he does, of course, manage to get a few pictures because he plants a camera,
mm-hmm.
which we don't see him do, but we see him later. He does have the photos. We see that Norman Osborn is there with this other guy, Spencer Smythe.
You blew it. You failed, Smythe.
My father is the world's foremost expert in the field of robotics, Mr. Osborn. He is not a failure.
Relax, Alistair. No need to defend me.
No need? You let that web-swinging weasel make fools of us.
Not for long.
This was only a trial run.
And Alistair Smythe, who's in this wheelchair there, is there with Spencer Smythe. And they said, well, this was a successful test. Well, we didn't hurt Spider-Man, but we just wanted to make sure we could track him properly and find him wherever he goes. Now, it's important to note, and I think this is why it's their very huge camera lens on here, that they seem to be going by visual scanning.
Mm.
So they don't seem to have any other way to actually detect his DNA. Maybe there might be something where they can track something about Spider-Man. This is actually something that was used. Did you ever play the Spider-Man movie tie-in video game way back in the
day? Yes, I sure did. Yeah.
And they had the whole thing where they're making something to track. And they basically did like Spider Slayers in a way in that game at one point. But they were trying to track Spider-Man because they're trying to figure out the secrets of his power. And they managed to trace like his spider-like DNA. So there might have been something like that going on. But I think the important thing they're wanting us to notice is these cameras. So they're mainly relying upon that looks to be Spider-Man. Let's go get him.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very important. Well, the next day we're finding out that there's a charity ball going on. J. Jonah Jameson calls Peter in here to this meeting. He's got Felicia Hardy in there.
Then there's the caterer, the parking attendants, the musicians, the cleaning crew. It's all been taken care of, right, Mr. Jameson?
Of course. This isn't the first charity ball I've hosted, Miss Hardy.
Yes, but this is the first one with the Hardy name attached to it. Now, what about the photographer? Mother says we absolutely must have one.
Yeah, well, tell Mother that if I spend any more money on this thing, I'm going to need charity.
Now, they've made some alterations to Felicia Hardy's character a little bit for the animated series, and she's kind of this, like an heiress of sorts. You have some money, and she's holding a charity ball, and, oh, look, Peter! I know Peter. Well, we go to school together, and you can tell Peter's definitely got the thing for Felicia Hardy, which, at this point, seems mutual, but things will become a little bit more comic-friendly. Now, there's a lot of characters we could cover in our upcoming profile. Felicia Hardy we will get to later, but not right now, because she is definitely a big character that you're going to want to get to know. Big important character. I'm still waiting for her in a good movie, but that's a whole
true.
Other story.
That's so true. She's a perfect character for a movie.
Yep. There's a whole thing going on with Sony trying to team her up with Silver Sable, but they need to put her in a Spider-Man movie first, mm-hmm. I think. But that's neither here or there. That's a big thing. They at least did put somebody in Amazing Spider-Man 2. There was somebody working at Oscorp who they called her Felicia, which I took to mean, aha, there you are.
Nice. I didn't catch that. Sweet.
Yes. Well, I was kind of expecting it because I follow up on Spider-Man movies. And yeah. So I knew that they were supposed to be somebody cast as a Felicia. So I was waiting for that. And when they mentioned her name, I was like, yay. And right at that point, they had plans to make more Spider-Man movies based all around that. So I was expecting to see Black Cat later. But yeah. They kind of got kiboshed. In, yeah. So maybe through Homecoming, you know, from there.
We shall see.
I want to see a good Black Cat. But anyway, so Felicia Hardy's got this charity ball going on. This is also, you're going to find out that Eddie Brock is, as a reporter, is not just, you know, for a newspaper. J. Jonah Jameson also has a news channel that he also runs, which becomes kind of important because that's the only way they could really get some of the story thing. But Eddie Brock is not going to be able to help cover this event because he's working on something really, really big, but he hasn't said what it is yet. So Peter Parker gets the assignment to go and take photos at this charity ball, which J. Jonah Jameson apparently is putting up a substantial amount of money, and he ain't happy about this to do this charity ball. But the Hardy Foundation is a big donator to the newspaper and big advertiser, you know, that kind of thing, sponsor. So J. Jonah Jameson is putting up the money. They're holding it at his place. So Felicia Hardy says, hey, you know, you need to bring a guest with you. And who does Peter bring with him to the charity ball but little old Aunt May, which is just sweet. And she actually, Flash Thompson, he's actually at this thing. And Flash Thompson tries to mock Peter for it. And Felicia Hardy tells him, well, I think it's sweet, and goes over to
now, if it was Peter. Aunt, if it was Aunt May from the new movies, I wouldn't mind. Just saying.
Yeah, Aunt May suddenly got hot. happened there?
She's not 90 years old anymore. She's just hot.
Yeah, which is really not quite Aunt May anymore.
No.
Much as we like Marissa Tomei, it's just like, where's the lady from those first three? She was like the perfect Aunt May.
Where's the old lady from Titanic? Is she still alive? Let's get her.
I don't know.
I don't think she's alive. I think she passed away like years ago.
Could have. I don't know. I don't pay attention to people from Titanic so much. Second viewing, that I realized this isn't really that good of a movie.
Come on! Now.
I was waiting for the accident to happen so it would get.
Yeah, no, that is the best part of it. Second half is the best part.
Yeah, second half, because then it becomes intense. Until then, yeah. I was like, "Wow, I'm kind of bored." So, and then suddenly Kate Winslet takes your clothes off, and you're not bored anymore. No, I'm kidding. I'm making a bad joke. Okay, but
we'll save that for our Titanic podcast coming up next.
Sure. Yes, the one that's going to hit an iceberg and sink. So. Okay, well, enough of my titanically bad jokes. So, speaking of a bad joke, see how I segue that?
Ooh, that's a good one.
Flash Thompson thinks he's just being brilliant, and at this point, we're also getting to meet Harry Osborn, who's kind of a little bit of a stooge for Flash Thompson. You know, he's kind of light in the loafer, you know, kind of a wishy-washy. You know, he just seems to flounder about, you know. Uh-huh. I don't know how else to say it, but so he kind of follows. He's a bit of a follower. You know, he's been kind of brought down by his overbearing father. But Flash Thompson has bought himself a Spider-Man costume, and he figures he's going to prank Peter Parker by wearing the costume and going pushing Peter around and saying, hey, well, those photos you're like, I don't like them.
Hey, you look just like your big hero.
I better. Paid enough to rent this thing for the frat party.
Well, what do you think Peter will do when he sees you in it?
Don't know what he'll do. Just don't be standing too close to him when he does it. Parker! It's time we had a talk.
About what, Spider-Man?
About those pictures you're always taking of me. I don't like them.
So Flash Thompson just thinks he's so funny, and Peter's just trying to play along because of like, you're not me. So it's already a weirdly awkward situation. But at that time, Let's do a character bio.
Yes, do it.
Who are you?
Unidentified mutants.
You know who I am.
Who told you my name?
You and what army?
So Spencer Smythe. Which, you know, in the comics, he lasts a lot longer than he did here in this cartoon. But we'll talk about that one a little bit later. Professor Spencer Smythe was a robotic and arachnid expert who asked J. Jonah Jameson to fund his projects, having become convinced by Jameson's editorials that Spider-Man was a menace. That almost seems to hold true in this episode. This episode, instead of J. Jonah Jameson, it's actually Norman Osborn. But after watching a demonstration showing that Smythe's robot could sense and track spiders, Jameson hires Smythe to capture Spider-Man. Jameson himself controlled the robot, meaning that Spider-Man found himself chased by a machine man with Jameson's face. However, Spider-Man escaped by leaving his Spider-Man suit wrapped in the robot's tentacles. Smythe, annoyed at the inability of his robot to capture Spider-Man, began to obsess about the webcrawler, turning to crime to finance his research and constantly improving his robots, which he dubbed Spider Slayers, hence the name of this episode. However, no matter how deadly or powerful he made them, they were always defeated by Spider-Man, utilizing a key flaw in their designs. The second one, for example, was capable of tracking a unique energy signature generated by spiders, but was defeated when Spider-Man lured it back to Smythe's laboratory, causing it to overload from the multitude of spiders Smythe kept there for his research. Eventually, Smythe's criminal career came to an end when the radioactive materials used in the manufacture of the robots poisoned him, dooming him to a slow and agonizing death. Blaming Jameson and Spider-Man equally for his impending demise, Smythe handcuffed the two of them together with a bomb scheduled to detonate in 24 hours, which actually is coming up in an upcoming episode in the Spider-Man series, which we'll talk about that one. Anyways, determined to make the two of them suffer the agony of inescapable death that he saw them as having condemned him to. Unfortunately for Smythe, his disease was too advanced for him to survive the 24 hours himself, and he expired convinced that he had killed off the two men responsible. Peter Parker, however, had a pretty good grasp of what made mechanical devices tick, and was able to abort the bomb by freezing its controls mere moments before it would have detonated. Now, here recently, in a storyline called Dead No More, The Clone Conspiracy, Spencer Smythe was cloned by Miles Warren and his company, The New U Technologies, which I have not and will not read, because it's written by Dan Slott. I do not like him as a writer for the most part with Spider-Man. I don't like what he's done with the character, and I don't like the Clone Saga stuff. It's always a disaster every time they do it, and they went back to do it again. They even went so far as bringing back Uncle Ben into this whole thing, so I'm not going to read any of that. So that's all I got to say.
Nobody's dead in comics anymore, so.
But some people need to remain dead because it's too important.
Exactly. For them to be
dead. Now, Spencer Smythe, of course, we've mentioned he has a son, Alistair, and we're going to talk about him the next time we talk about Spider-Man, because Alistair is going to become quite important, and
sweet.
He is equally deadly and smart. So let's jump back into our episode synopsis. All right, so as we were talking about before, Flash Thompson is there dressed as Spider-Man, and he's trying to push around Peter, and Peter's like, oh, okay, sure, I won't take your picture no more, you know. And boom, a Spider Slayer. And, okay, this is what they call the Black Widow Spider Slayer, because it's a large black robot, and it's got, like, acid spit things and all these weapons, and it says giant spider. And it crashes through the ceiling. Now, Norman Osborn had mentioned, well, I just want Spider-Man captured. So that's what it's there to do. Well, of course, now we mentioned it only has a camera to really identify Spider-Man in. So who does it see? Flash Thompson, who is cowering over in the corner. So, of course, it grabs up Spider-Man, Flash Thompson, as Peter Parker tries to duck away after making sure Aunt May is okay in a room with a TV so she can watch what's going on, pretty much. And Felicia, unfortunately, sees Peter going away as she's kind of, you know, got some debris kind of around here. And she sees Peter Parker going, taking Aunt May away and not coming for her.
Mm.
So he changes to Spider-Man. Spider-Man comes and helps Felicia, which Felicia appreciates Spider-Man, not so much Peter Parker. So Spider-Man, though, doesn't know where the Spider Slayer went, but you will later see him as J. Jonah Jameson is watching TV with Aunt May in the other room as the Black Widow has gone back to this secret location with what they think is Spider-Man. And Eddie Brock is there with a camera saying he will now exclusively pull the mask from Spider-Man and reveal his identity to the world. That's the big scoop he was working for. So Eddie Brock thinks he's just making his career.
Live and exclusively.
Cut to the chase, Brock.
Flash Thompson.
You know him?
He goes to school with my nephew, Peter Parker.
Wait a minute. Are you telling me Spider-Man's just some goofy kid? That's unbelievable.
How can anything be unbelievable to a guy who publishes a tabloid?
Spider-Man!
And Jonah's like, yeah, that's the real thing right with here. So Eddie Brock just made me look like a chump on national television. So Spider-Man gets an idea of where the location is and sets off to go save Flash Thompson because he's in a lot of, which Aunt May does mention. I kind of love this. Aunt May says, somebody better go help that nice Thompson boy, and looks up. Spider-Man's already on his way. So then now the fun starts. Spidey shows up there, and this was interesting. If anyone listens to Who Did That Voice with Trenton Larkin, which you should, he had John Semper, who was the main writer for the Spider-Man animated series. I really would like to get him on this show, plus the Neverland podcast show. It would be awesome. I actually have tried to get him on the show, Neverland show, but he wasn't able to do it at the time. Maybe that's changed. So we'll see about getting him to talk on the Marvel Tooncast. But he mentions that he did not want to have Spider-Man ever punch anything because it seemed too mean. Although in the comics, Spider-Man can punch the dickens out of whatever he wants.
Yeah, exactly.
In the cartoon, he just didn't feel it right because he says Spider-Man has all these other things that he can do with some webbing. And, you know, when Spider-Man shows up, we see some of these soldier guys come running in and they want to grab Flash Thompson Spider-Man because, oh, he's got an enemy, which I forgot to mention. Norman Osborn was seen talking to this enemy, and it's the Kingpin, which we can do a segment on him later.
Nice.
The Kingpin is they've got him doing more of a worldwide crime syndicate instead of just ruling New York and Hell's Kitchen, you know, which was very cool. He's doing it from like the top of is that the Chrysler Building in New York? It's a famous building. They have it like he's got a whole thing. But you'd find out that the Kingpin has actually been orchestrating this whole thing to where he wants to get Spider-Man because Spider-Man has been interfering in his criminal empire. So these guys show up and they actually apparently working for the Kingpin. Spider-Man shows up, and he's allowed to kick people and web people and fling them around and do all kinds of stuff, but never punch them, which is kind of interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So he deals with them, but now he's still got this giant spider that he realizes it's him. And it is like nearly invincible except for the special acid that they use to put the screws in. So that's the only thing that might possibly hurt it. So now he's got to figure out a way to get it in there. And it's pretty cool because you have this great scene where Spider-Man takes like this big metal steel beam.
This thing is indestructible. Foul ball coming. Do the Mets need me or what?
And he's making baseball jokes as he's whacking this thing, trying to be able to subdue it. But eventually, after the whole mess, he finally gets a great idea, gets on the top of the thing, and puts a web cartridge into the thrusters of the Black Widow robot. When it tries to thrust away at one point, it gets gummed up in its own webs and falls into the vat of acid, which was the only thing that could eat through its armor. And that's really summing things up. However, in the process of the battle, there was a fire started in there. Alistair and Norman Osborn leave, but Spencer says, no, I'm going to stay here and see this through. Unfortunately, Spencer doesn't make it out, and the whole place, kaboom, explodes, leaving Alistair Smythe outside, very upset. And jumping to the very end of the episode, which I am going to back up again, but jumping to the end of the episode, you see the Kingpin coming along and saying, oh, well, I knew your father, and he was doing a great thing, but I would like to now help you follow up on your father's work, Mr. Alistair Smythe. And so he hauls him away. Now, I will also mention again, once again, Alistair Smythe is in a wheelchair at this point and has been the entire episode.
Mm-hmm.
When we actually learn about Alistair Smythe, we find out how he got in that wheelchair.
Yep.
Because he wasn't in it when he first showed up. But while that whole thing has been going on, of course, Peter shows back up at J. Jonah Jameson's apartment. You know, Flash is safe, and Flash has vowed he's never going to do anything that stupid again because Spidey has had a little talk with him. It's like, now you know the trouble that this mask causes, and then now knock it off. You know, don't do anything like this. Uh-huh. So, oh, I thought you were about to say something there. But so Felicia Hardy comes up, and she reads Peter the Riot Act.
First the dolt, now the coward.
Coward? I was only trying to...
You abandoned me! Spider-Man had to save me! If you were half the man he is...
And so, you know, she storms off. But I like that they do that because in the comics, this was a big deal. As the Black Cat, as she meets the Spider-Man later before she goes good and everything, they have a relationship together where she likes Spider-Man. But at one point he says, you know, well, I've got to show you who I am. He unmasks and she's like, no, no, put it back on. Literally. She wants nothing to do with Peter Parker. Wow. She loves Spider-Man.
I love that. That's really cool.
So, and as the series goes on, they did go in that direction, and I really love that they did that. But they have where she's got this thing on Peter Parker. Although here in the current more comics, she is friends with Peter. But it was just funny to kind of have that in. It's like, oh yes, Spider-Man, awesome. Peter Parker, not so much. So we have that little bit, plus a very important thing happens there. J. Jonah Jameson is laying into Eddie Brock for making him look like a fool and fires him.
Networks are laughing at me, Brock. Even Fox. Can you imagine the humiliation? And it's all because of you.
Me? Don't blame me. Blame Spider-Man.
I do. But him, I can't fire.
And that's the end we ever see of Eddie Brock, isn't it? He never comes back ever on the show again, right?
Oh, yeah, we'll never see guy again.
Never again.
You know, he moved back to Philadelphia where he came from.
Yep, okay, sounds about right.
Yeah. Alrighty, any final thoughts from this? Do you remember this episode now?
I do remember a lot about it. I just can't really discuss it in full detail. But let me say that the parts I watched of it, I loved the Scorpion's part. It's amazing. I love it.
All right, and that's coming up later.
That's like episode 5 or 6. I'm ready for episode 5 or 6. Me to say
I'm ready
that.
For Scorpion in a movie.
Oh, yeah. No, he was always, him and Shocker are my two favorite Spider-Man villains as a kid. So I'm excited.
Well, you will see the Shocker. And Shocker has always been kind of a thug for hire in his own way anyway. Yeah. Which we'll be able to talk about the Shocker later because he will make an appearance. I don't remember if he's in season 1, but I know in season 2.
I think he is. And of course, Jim Cummings is the voice.
Yes, indeedy.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things I like about the Shocker, though, is the very first Spider-Man comic that I ever bought, Shocker was the villain in that issue.
Yeah.
So he has a special place for me. So anytime I get to fight him in a video game, I'm like, Shocker, old buddy, I'm here to kick your butt.
But yeah, back to this episode. I do remember as a teenager, and I do remember, I love the Kingpin in the animated series. Probably my favorite version of the Kingpin I've ever seen is from this animated series.
With Roscoe Brown? Is this? Oh, we'll have to look that up. But he's a very famous voice actor.
Okay.
A lot of television in the 80s. Had a great voice. Unfortunately, we've lost him.
Yeah.
I forgot to mention that the voice of Spencer Smythe was Edward Mulhare. And you'll like this. He played Devin Miles on Knight Rider.
Guy
in charge.
Sweet. Wow. That's cool.
Yes. He had a lot of different roles when I looked him up. Unfortunately, he did pass away in 1997.
Yeah, because he was older. Yeah.
Yes. But how cool that he got to be in at least one episode of Spider-Man.
Amazing. I love that. And let me do a little shameless plug on my own podcast, Saturday Morning Rewind. I just had an interview, amazing interview, with Ed Asner, legendary voice actor and legendary actor, period. And, of course, he is the voice of J. Jonah Jameson.
Right.
So go over
whenever you happen to hear this, make sure you go and check out Saturday Morning Rewind, because the timing might not be the same. But go and check out his feed, because you can find that.
It'll be there.
Plus, didn't you talk to the voice of Kit?
I did,
Oh, wait.
William Daniels,
Yes. So, Knight Rider fans, go back and check that out, too.
Yep. Just go to SaturdayMorningRewind.com. You'll find it.
And, of course, visit TheNeverlandPodcast.com, and you'll find The Neverland Podcast for all things Spider-Man and Disney, Pixar, Marvel, Star Wars, and occasionally branching out outside to something else that is just kind of cool and geeky.
Yes.
All righty. Any other final thoughts on this episode before we roll on?
Nope. I love it. And you described it incredibly well, and I can imagine it in my head.
Yes, and this was a fantastic episode, because actually at the time I wasn't familiar with the Spider Slayer, so this was really cool.
Exactly.
And I love there's a great line in there where G. Jonah Jameson, when he's bawling out Eddie Brock, says that you've made me the laughingstock amongst all the networks, even Fox, which is funny because this aired on the Fox Kids network. Find us on Facebook by simply searching The Mighty Marvel Tooncast. We have an entire page that you can like, and we'll try to put some more stuff on there. We also do have a Twitter feed for The Marvel Tooncast. I believe it's just simply @MarvelTooncast.
Sweet.
Make sure, though, if you find us on iTunes and leave us a review, please, because it's a new show. We want to get it out there. We want to get more people to know about it. And if you leave a bunch of reviews, it really helps us because it lets us know if you're enjoying it. Plus, it also has iTunes say, hey, people are watching and listening to this show. See. But I think this pretty much wraps it up. Make sure you subscribe there on iTunes. Subscribe to the Saturday Morning Rewind. Subscribe to Neverland Podcast. Subscribe to our friends because our friends make awesome shows. See you next time. Excelsior.
Bye.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.